Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Cinema Sommelier. I am Gary T. Moore.
And I am Zachary Wachaleski. And today we're here to talk to you about Ben Zeitlin's 2020 film, Wendy.
Lost on a mysterious island, a girl fights to save her family, her freedom, and the joyous spirit of youth. That was the whole thing. That was it. That was the whole synopsis we had.
That's the intro.
For Ben Zeitlin, February 28th, 2020 release of Wendy. Now, just a caution to our many, many listeners. This will more than likely contain spoilers. So if you have not seen Wendy yet, pause this right where you're at. Take 2 hours, go watch Wendy. As of right now, as of this recording, it's on what, Amazon Video or something like that? And then come back, unpause it.
I believe it's on HBO Max.
HBO Max.
At least that's where I watched it.
Is that where? Yeah, no, that is. That is where we watched it. We have the Hulu extension, so that's where we watched it. Okay.
All right.
So let's get into this, shall we?
Let's do it. General opinions, Gary. What did you think of this movie?
I was a fan. I really was. I think everyone is a fan of the story of Peter Pan, right? The whimsical nature of Peter Pan. This took that whimsical nature of Peter Pan and flipped it on its ear, because it was kind of a lot dark.
Yeah.
But I was okay with that. I thought it was really solid. I thought, of course, it was gorgeous. So well shot and crafted. I thought the script was as simple as it needed to be. Because I was watching it, and I'm like, you know what? They're not talking a lot, but they don't need to.
Okay, all right.
Like, I never found myself like why, what are they doing? What are they saying? Because their actions spoke louder than words, and the story they told with what you saw on camera and what you saw in the film was, you know, was just that much better. And there were a few times I was like, what does that mean? But usually it was kind of wrapped up and answered, or you had to use the suspension of disbelief, which I know that's not really what you want to do while watching, you know, a film
it's
like
Peter
that.
Pan.
Or, it's Peter
it's
Pan,
Peter
exactly.
Pan. You have to. Yeah.
You have to know that going into it. And I thought it was it the best adaptation of that kind of story? No. Was it up there? Yes, but that's kind of unfair because there have just been some garbage productions out there.
Yeah, Peter Pan is a tough thing for directors to come into and actually produce a story that's going to stand up to the original.
And it shouldn't be. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I agree. Actually, so going into the story, I think that's probably, I mean, as the fact that it's a remake, but this is the director and his sister. It's his story. They actually, growing up, were like, we want to do a new take on Peter Pan. So obviously I think Peter Pan, everyone knows the story, everyone knows what's going on. Peter Pan flying comes in, sort of takes this family of children away to Lost Island. That concept is still sort of there in this movie, which I love. But in the original, Wendy has this, I'm just there to be the motherly figure.
Of course.
Which is a very outdated and old concept. So it's great to me that Ben Zeitlin and his sister doing this new story were like, we want Wendy to be just as adventurous as the boys, if not more adventurous. And this movie really does a great job of sort of showcasing that. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. Like, Wendy's still the adventurous one in this story. She's no longer just the mother figure, even though that does kind of still pop its head up in the movie. She still references like, oh, you're my mother and whatnot. But yeah, so I thought it was fantastic in that regard. I wasn't the biggest fan, but we can get to some of my critiques of the movie later.
Yeah, I also I like that you know, even in the original Peter Pan, if we look back at that, like, I just had this thought while you were talking. I'm like, she was the mother figure, yet she still went on this adventure. You know what I'm saying? And in this one, she was the mother figure. But in this one, it kind of also flips it again. She was the younger one.
Yeah.
Right? She was the younger, like, I don't know. I just thought the fact that you saw them grow up and that they have a loving relationship with their mother, and that I think this whole adventure is her wanting the best thing for her mother and her family, because, you know, they're poor, they're from the South, they're, you know, all that kind of stuff. They live above the train track, and they work in a restaurant. All the kids work in the restaurant too. I thought that was gorgeous. I thought that whole storytelling of you seeing them when they were younger and play out and stuff like that. And, going back to, like, she wants to take care of them. That's such, like, a genuine thing to me. And, you know, the scene where they're just catching turtles, I'm like, God, that's so, like, growing up in the South, that's what we used to do. We didn't have money. We didn't have, like, game systems and all that jazz. We went out and we caught turtles and fireflies and, like, all that kind of stuff. So I thought that was very, it seemed like it was shot in my backyard growing up. I really like that.
It is the Americanized version of that story. Like, obviously the original being like, it's just this proper English family gets whisked away. It's just like, you don't really have that adventure. You don't have that relatable, like, that's just them wanting to get away from the high class society that they're living in. These are like kids who are like, I'm going to grow up. And this movie starts with a kid who's like, I don't want to grow up, just be a mop and broom man. Like, that's just not what I want. I want to stay a kid. I want to have that adventure, that naivety that we have as children. I want to keep that. And I think that definitely echoes throughout the movie, and that it makes that storyline a little bit more relatable, to your point of just like, it's these kids who are just like not wanting to grow up and just be the people who are in their family diner, who are really just doing the same thing every day.
Because you see these people. Yeah, and you know, you see these people that are in the diner in the beginning, and like, yes, they're very content with their lives, right? But as a kid, you don't want to see that. Like, I don't know how he had that realization as like a 7-year-old, that whole like, I don't want to grow old and die here in this diner. But like, he sees the people, like, you know, a little younger than him as far as like Wendy is concerned, as a baby, and then you see people like all the old people that are surrounding them just like playing cards and like eating and whatever. And it's just like, he just has this realization as a 7-year-old that he's like, I have to get out of here or I'm going to end up just like them. And I think that's something that we all kind of deal with in life at some point, not at 7 for me, definitely didn't take place in a diner, like, you know, all that kind of stuff. But, so I thought that was a really cool, like, you know, anagnorisis for that character as early as that was in the movie. He's like, but he set everything up in the future. And I thought that him not wanting to be there and then hopping a train and going to, you know, Neverland, if you will. I just did air quotes. I don't know why. Like, I'm on the Zoom, I'm just like, ha, yeah, Neverland. Yeah, you guys see that, right? But yeah, I thought that was a good little touch. And it made, you know, it made a journey possible, and it set up like Wendy's like, oh, she saw him go. I want to go. And that kind of paved the way to get to Neverland.
Can we talk about the actor that plays Wendy? Devin France was just unbelievable in this entire movie. Yeah.
So captivating the entire time.
Yeah, absolutely. And just the way that Ben Zeitlin sort of focuses on people, focuses on just the emotion and like the raw aspect of humanity, and just like zooming in on her face, she just does such a fantastic job of just pulling you in and just keeping you focused on the story.
It's unbelievable. Ridiculous.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Like, I studying the craft, I was just like, I hate this child. I hate this probably 10, 11-year-old child right now, however old she actually was, because she's delivering a performance that I couldn't touch. Because she was so good. It was like, I mean, you know, she was obviously the strongest one in the entire movie. The others were good. The other kids were great. The kid that played Peter Pan, what's his name? Joshua.
Yep.
I thought he was fantastic, but still not as strong as Wendy.
So what I will add into this, and this is a typical Ben Zeitlin thing. He did the same with Beasts of the Southern Wild, but he actually, he crafts this entire universe to be this sort of like almost improv type of movie filming. So when he went and like he scouted the place, he set it in the Caribbean. This is supposed to be like, yes, Peter Pan and Neverland take place in the Caribbean. He actually found Joshua Mack, the boy who plays Peter Pan in the movie. He was on like a Rasta camp in the Caribbean. So he wasn't an actor. He's just like, I'm going to take this child who just has the experiences of the land. And he really knows how to traverse the landscape that we're trying to set this movie in.
Yeah.
And so we're going to take him and put him in this lead role. I think to your point, yeah, like they sort of sculpt some of the, they had this whole script planned and then they're like, hey, we're going to, because now this is the Peter Pan. This is how Peter Pan's going to be. He's going to be more of this quiet, reserved, still like adventurous type. And I think to your point, that kind of maybe sets Wendy as like this fantastic actor, which yeah. she was, but it sets her just light years above
the rest of that. To his credit, like, you know, I'll use another example. That hardly ever works using real people. I'm going to call out Clint Eastwood right now in that, what was it, 10, 12 to Paris or whatever? Just a god-awful movie altogether. And, like, cool story, whatever, and heroes, cool, great. However, they use the real people that it happened to, and it was atrocious. So, like...
And this is children. Like, this is...
And these are kids, exactly. Good God.
The level of skill that it takes to make a movie that's just solely based on real people and real children, for the most part, is incredible.
Yeah. Just fantastic. What would you say kind of like your favorite scene, or have we kind of discussed that, or what's up?
I mean, honestly, it's hard to pick out one scene because I think the way that the movie and the story progresses, like it's a lot of like showcase the land, showcase what they were working with.
That's right.
They filmed on an active volcano. Like, there's just a lot of really cool aspects.
Ridiculous.
Of how they filmed this, making it extremely difficult for them to film. So just like having those scenes of just like them interacting with the land on the cliff sides, on the beach, like all of these are just real places on an island with an active volcano. Like, and just sort of seeing those, I think that is probably, from a scene perspective, what was amazing to me the most. And then my favorite thing about this movie is the score. Like, I thought the score was absolutely
fantastic. Of course.
A little bit of a repeat of Beasts of the Southern Wild. Again, he worked with the same guy to create this score, but it had this like real ominous, sometimes and folksy, other times like adventure score that progressed throughout the movie, and I thought it was just unbelievable.
See, and to that effect, I'm really glad I haven't seen Beast of a Southern Wild, because as we talked about briefly before, you were telling me that if I liked this movie, I would love Beast of the Southern Wild, but you have seen Beast of the Southern Wild, and it was kind of like the same-ish kind of feel, kind of thing, whatever. So that'll be my next on the list, whether it's the movie chosen on the our glorious movie wheel or not.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if we can transition a little bit into sort of that comparison, there's so much of this movie that feels like it's sort of taking a similar note, a similar page out of Beasts of the Southern Wild. And that's kind of where I sort of lose my interest in Wendy a little bit. It takes a lot of the same complaints. It deals with global warming in Wendy, where it's just like, oh, mother, this giant fish-like creature, I suppose, being mother, like representing this like mother nature, we need to take care of it. That's the same message that he's trying to get across in Beasts of the Southern Wild. The score being of the same composer, same style, same basically everything to it. And so it's just like, we've seen this before. Like, it feels like this is it took 7 years to make Wendy. Why? How did it take this long to create a movie you already created? It already won awards, or it was nominated for awards, I guess, Beasts of the Southern Wild in 2012. It took you 7 years to produce the same thing.
Well, to that degree, I'll say that I didn't see Mother, the mother fish, if you want to call her that. I didn't see her as like a, we have to protect Mother Earth and stuff like that. I saw that as a child confiding in the only thing that they know, right? He knows the island. Peter Pan knows the island. He knows fishing. He knows it was something familiar to him when everything else on the island had completely gone and disappeared and left him or whatever. You say that like his parents left or whatever, whatever. Like, I think that's, I don't know. Maybe I saw it that way. I'm sure there were some absolute elements of take care of Mother Nature because it was shot on this beautiful place. And if we don't take care of that, we're going to lose it anyway. So, and maybe that's one of the inconsistencies or whatever.
I can give a little bit into like what I saw with that, which I think really is a kudos to just the filmmaking of this. But like the story of Peter Pan is like kids not wanting to grow up, kids sort of wanting to be naive, adventurous. And so they go to this island, and then there's this mother fish thing, which I just didn't get to a point. It was a bit
like out of left field.
Yeah. And so this movie progresses, and like when you lose faith, lose trust and belief that you can still be a child. I guess that's the Peter Pan mantra, I suppose. But when you don't do that, you grow up and like you just age instantly in this movie. And then as an adult, you just become this like crotchety, let's kill pirate, Mother Nature. Pirate.
Yeah, yeah.
It turns into this message of like the old crotchety pirates, I guess you can say, which to me, like they weren't good pirates. They
we'll
were just
say,
sort of
we'll say pirates, yeah.
But they wanted to, like, they didn't care about the nature. They didn't care about the adventure, the world. They were just going to, like, take what they could from Mother. Again, in my situation, being Mother Nature. And the kids okay. like, no, we need to change. We need to care for the earth. We come home muddy and dirty. And, like, we are a part of this world. And so that's what I saw from this, which, again, okay. I think is beautiful. And it's a wonderful message. But, it sort of goes back to the Beasts of the Southern Wild. It just does the same thing. But anyway, that's my whole spiel with that. I think it's beautiful, and I think it's a great message, but maybe not as convincing as his previous film. But what about you? What did you think in terms of things you didn't like?
Things I didn't like. I wish Hook when okay, spoiler alert, as we said in the beginning. So let's focus on the two brothers, right? Wendy in this film has two brothers and they're twins. And then one of them, they were like going exploring in this boat and one of them hits his head and just kind of vanishes, right? And then I went through the next 15, 20, 25 minutes of the movie because it was a long movie. I went through the next section of the movie like, oh, okay, well, I guess he's dead now. Like, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. And like Peter Pan was like, no, hey, don't worry. Mother's going to take care of it. And I'm like, okay. And then later on, you know, her other brother kind of takes this turn, into Captain Hook and into Hook. By the way, I thought the forging of the hook was really cool. How he's like just bending this piece of metal and he puts it because he, okay, so let's rewind just like 10 seconds. His hand starts to grow old.
Age.
Because he's missing his brother, which I'm like, okay, so there's that worry of like, I'm not going to find my brother again, whatever, whatever. And twins have that kind of link. I thought that was a cool little thing. But then, like, his hand aged, which the makeup or whatever they did was fantastic. And then they cut it off. Peter Pan cuts it off.
Very just violent part.
I was like, they're going to do this. They're going to do this right now with a rusty blade in this old building. It was like a kid's version of Saw. It's like very dark. Yeah. Time to play very, a game.
Very morbid twist on Peter Pan. I love him turning into Hook, but I think the way that it was done was like I lost the whimsy here. Like, we are out
of there's no more whimsy here. Yeah. There's none of that. No more of that. That has gone out the window. Yeah. And then like he starts to turn as a kid into like this kind of like
grumpy boss, old man.
This creepy old man, but as a child. And like these other lost boys, which are lost old men and women, pirates, whatever, start following his command because he maybe is the newest grown up. Or maybe he got a touch of being grown up without. That's a little unclear. I don't know. But I wish, because then he ages. Then the next time you see him as Hook, when he becomes Hook, he's like probably mid-40s. And I'm like, okay, I hope they keep him here. Because then we can kind of prolong this adventure. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's keep him here. Let's keep him that. But then the next time you see him, he's like 85. And he's got a gut and his shirt is open and he's just an old pirate. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, it didn't go the way I wanted it, but I didn't write it, you know?
Yep. And I think to your point, you've used the word pirate, right? Obviously in Peter Pan, they're the pirates, the adults, the bad guys. They're always going to be the pirates. They're fighting against Peter Pan and the Lost Boys. This movie loses all of that for me. Like, they're not pirates. They're just trying to, like, there's no crocodile that they're trying, like, it's just like Mother. They think that like Mother can help them de-age and get their adventure back,
right?
But there's just so much to me inconsistency with this storyline, because the whole concept is if you're young and adventurous and you believe in Mother, you'll stay young and you'll stay adventurous. But then when you age and you turn into an adult, you still like all of these people still believed in Mother. They believe in her
for something else. They believe in her because they want to be young again. They're like, oh, we have to have this thing. And it's like a possessive thing. It's like,
they covet her. Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Whether that's Mother as in Mother Earth or Mother as a giant glowing fish or
fish
whatever.
Turtle thing that shoots lasers. I'm confused by Mother.
It reminded me of the TV miniseries It, the original It, where I'm like, oh, those are her deadlights, and they're all gonna, maybe they're all dead. I don't know. Maybe that's just the thing that they were doing. Did it have inconsistencies? Of course it did. But I was able to kind of like, oh, okay, let's maybe do that.
You stay involved with the whimsy, this like, it's Peter Pan, it's kind of this made up sort of idea. I think it still works. I think that the whole concept still fits the bill. It just doesn't bring me back to my childhood, which I feel like that's kind of what Peter Pan should be. And maybe that's just because that's how I look at Peter Pan. I look at that story and be like, I want it to just sort of remind me of what I got out of that first movie. The adventure, the love of sort of being a child. And it takes that and it just twists it into like, the world is harsh and aging sucks. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to get out of this movie besides
that
concept.
True. There's a lot of, I guess, themes and stuff like that. And then let's backtrack just a second. The brother comes back.
Yes.
Which to me, I was like,
confusing.
So is Hook gonna be good? Like, that was the whole reason. Maybe he'll stop aging. That was the whole reason, like, I guess he'll have to stop aging, because if he keeps aging at that age, he's gonna die the next day. But I'm like, so, okay. So, and then I kept thinking, what are these parents doing? Like,
How much time has passed in the scenario? Like, are they just like stuck in a different reality this whole time?
Is it like an interstellar? I don't know what's going on. Because if you look at the first kid who ran away, who's like, I'm not going to sweep these floors or be a mop boy or whatever he was saying, he didn't age at all. But the other kids only age, well, like a few years. Yeah. So, yes.
They kind of like at the end, they breeze through that concept of like, cool, they can go back to their own world and still grow up because growing up can be an adventure too. Like, that's the final message of this movie, as it basically should be for Peter Pan. But it's like, so much has happened on this island. Like, I feel like it is just dark. Like, your brother chopped his arm off. Like, how can you go back now? Like, how does this world work in conjunction with the real world, I guess?
True. Yeah. Okay. So let's I guess score this bad boy. What do you think? I'll let you go first because you are, I think, more opinionated in the negative light of scoring than I would be.
I am. So I'll never be negative about this movie. I think Ben Zeitlin is again fantastic director. The only two movies I know are this one and Beast of the Southern Wild. But he paints this undertone narrative through his films. It's a gorgeous cinematography and score. I just think that the story misses its mark, and maybe it's just the fact that he played around with Peter Pan, and that's just so close to home for me. So I think I have to give it a 5. I'll go middle of the road. Okay. I'm happy to have watched it. Won't watch it again, unfortunately.
Won't watch it again? Okay. Yeah. While it did have its inconsistency, I think it can survive on the nostalgia on just Wendy's performance alone. Like, if it was just her for 2 hours, I still would have watched it, I feel. Yeah. And the mom and then the relationship, I thought that was good. I'll give it a 7. I'll stick with a solid 7, maybe like a 7.2. If we're doing points.
The fractions?
We still haven't mastered this whole scoring thing yet. I'll give it a 7. I thought it was very well done. I thought it was just gorgeous. Like, if you weren't watching the movie, the entire thing could absolutely be a screensaver on a computer. Like, it's at any moment you could pause it and be like, that's really pretty.
And felt like a documentary. Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, I'll go 7.2.
That makes the average a 6.1, then, I suppose.
I think so. I think that does. Right.
Positive reviews.
Yeah. Okay. So I think the next thing we should do is set up for next episode.
Let's do it. Sounds like we gotta spin that wheel.
Let's spin that wheel. Enter cool sound effect here. Okay. Ooh. All right, here we go. Zach, you want to tell our lovely, I was gonna say viewers, what we've landed on?
All right, looks like we are gonna do Rear Window. So, directed by Alfred Hitchcock, it's 1954. So we're throwing way, way back from 2020 now to 1954.
And it's got Jimmy Stewart in it, which I'm very excited about, and Grace Kelly. So let's do it. I'm excited. So that'll be next. Well, for Cinema Sommelier, I am Gary T. Moore.
I'm Zachary Wachaleski.
So grab your binoculars
and your crow,
and we'll see you at the movies.